Page 5, Dad, I acknowledge you. I wrote this book because of my mama, but also in memory of you. This book, my life, and my entire being is the essence of you. You are my story. It took me years to realize you are me and I am you. If it weren't for you, much of my story wouldn't be what it is. If it weren't for you, much of my healing wouldn't be what it is. You have given me the greatest gift a human could ever ask for. You did what was necessary to ensure I would return back home to myself, my essence, my soul. All this time, I vented about how you weren't there for me, not realizing you were always there. Every moment I cried over your absence and held guilt for my anger towards you. You were there sitting right next to me in spirit, still guiding me and guiding who I am today. You've always walked me home. You knew who I'd become, and you knew the role you play in my journey for me to evolve and fulfill my soul's purpose. I'm sorry it took so long to see the brilliance in your method of being a father. Thank you for having the courage to stay away. Thank you for playing the villain in my story until now. Thank you for your absence. I thought I needed you in my presence because that's what society teaches us. Both parents are supposed to be present in our lives. I know now that I didn't need your presence. I needed your absence because that's what helped me find the truth of myself. You are a true guru. You know what? You are a true guru. You are a true guru. You know that? I honor you, and I'm so very thankful for you. I take you with me everywhere I go. Thank you for walking me home, Dad. As many people read my book, I think that dedication to my dad is a part that stands out. And I get a lot of messages from people who are saying, you know, I'm only at the dedication and I'm already crying. And, you know, my relationship with my dad was very interesting because he wasn't really there growing up. He didn't stay far. My dad loved me. He was a great person, but he was an alcoholic. And those of you who have parents that have had addictions, you know that either who they are as a parent changes or their absence is present. And so my dad was not around. And the only time I would really see him was on holidays when I would go to my grandparents' house. My grandparents actually still to this day have a very tough time with me speaking about my dad. And they've chosen to not have communication with me because they don't like the light that I portray of my dad. And I've never spoken badly about him. I've just told the truth, which is that he wasn't present. And growing up, I wasn't angry at him. I pitied him because I knew how much he loved me, but I knew that he didn't know how to be present. He didn't know how to stop drinking. And it made me feel really bad for him. And because I felt so bad for him, I wasn't allowed the opportunity to be angry or express to him how I felt because I didn't want to hurt his feelings. I didn't want to make him feel worse. And I didn't want my expression of emotion to drive him deeper into his alcoholism. So I bottled up what I felt. And at some point, I thought that I didn't feel anything. I was just emotionally numb. And then when my dad got diagnosed with liver cancer, and everyone in my family guilted me for not being present. You need to go see your dad. You need to call your dad. Why don't you call your dad? Why don't you go see your dad? And I would go see him, but it was out of obligation. So I didn't feel as bad. And I didn't have a relationship with him. And I was actually really angry that why is everybody guilting me in having a relationship with him when nobody made him feel any guilt or held him accountable to have a relationship with me growing up? I'm the child. And I kind of held that resentment. And because everyone kept feeding me guilt, when he passed away, I actually felt it. My dad passed away. The doctors came to tell me, my family, that he passed away. And the first thing my grandmother did before she even let out a tear was she looked at me and she said, "You should have been there for your dad more often." And then she burst out in tears. And because of that, I didn't even have the opportunity to feel anything or cry, because the only thing that I could feel was a body of guilt and shame and confusion. So even at his funeral, I sang, but it was difficult for me to feel emotion, because I was doing my best to work through the guilt that was given to me and the resentment that I didn't yet know was resentment. My alcohol addiction became really bad. And at some point, I recognized that I had to evolve through my alcohol addiction. And I went to my dad's grave, and this was 2 years later while I was really struggling. And I went to my dad's grave and I held him accountable. And I told him that how I felt, how angry I was that he wasn't present for me. And how I feel like it's partially his fault that I have an addictive personality. And that I also have had doctor's visits that told me that my liver wouldn't be able to take any more alcohol. And as I held him accountable, I apologized to him for not being present while he was dying. And I shared with him the guilt and the shame and the embarrassment that I felt. And I told him that I needed his help to stop drinking. And I knew I wouldn't be able to do it without him. Intuitively, I knew that I had to have a relationship with him to end my addictive cycle. And I told him, if you help me in this cycle of alcohol addiction, I'll forgive you and we can create a new relationship in spirit. And from that day forward, our relationship has been so different. And even though it's just in spirit, it feels so much lighter. And now I'm 6 years sober. Next month, March 27th, I'll be 6 years sober. And that means that's 6 years since I had this conversation with him. And my relationship with him is still evolving so much because I'm still learning new perspectives. And, you know, it brings me to the point to where people are like, well, I don't understand. Why is this still affecting me? I thought I healed from this. And what people refuse or don't acknowledge is that version of you evolves. And like the scripture says, God doesn't give you more than you can bear. So you can only evolve to a certain capacity in each phase of your life. But then you learn new tools, new ways of healing, new modalities. And then you evolve into a more enlightened version of yourself that expands with knowledge and wisdom. And that version of you can handle the next level of healing. And then the next level of healing in the different phase of your life. So as I continue to evolve, my understanding, my forgiveness, my compassion, everything has changed and evolved. Whereas initially I looked at it as my dad wasn't present. Now I look at it as, what a gift he gave me for choosing to be absent. Before we incarnate into our human bodies, our soul chooses our parents, which also means we know the trauma we're going to experience. We know the obstacles we're going to have to evolve through. We know about the addiction. We know about all of the painful things that are going to happen. So before I got here, I knew my dad wasn't going to play a part in my life. Imagine him having to choose on a soul level that he would have to sacrifice his relationship with his only daughter just so she could heal and evolve into the person that I am now. And had he had chosen to be present in my life, I don't have the story of addiction that I'm able to help other people heal through their addictions. I don't have the story of abandonment to where now I have the tools to help people heal through their own abandonment. My entire life story would be different, and I wouldn't have any of the wisdom, the knowledge, or the tools to help guide people through their emotional trauma. And so he gave me the gift of choosing to be absent, not to be an absent father, but to make sure that in his absence, I was able to evolve into the version of myself that I was called to be. And it would only happen if he honored his role in my life as choosing not to play a part in it. That's a very different perspective than my dad abandoned me, or my dad wasn't present, or my dad was an alcoholic, so he couldn't be present. It's the human version wants to say, oh, my dad wasn't here. But the soul knows that he made a very intentional decision to honor me and honor my life's purpose and honor the great things that I was going to do, that I was meant to do, by choosing to remain and not be present, to remain absent, to keep his distance. And I think that was the most profound perspective that I've ever had. And I got the perspective while I was watching a movie on Netflix called Outer Banks. And in the movie, it details a lot of kids who are on adventure. I love watching scavenger hunt movies. They're looking for gold, but the dads in the movie have always abandoned their kids and did what was best for them. At the end of the movie, they find the gold, and the dads sacrifice their lives, literally dying, so their kids can have a better life because they found the gold. And it was just a huge aha moment. Like, whoa, my dad literally sacrificed everything, our entire relationship, his self-confidence as being a man and being a father, to make sure that I was able to evolve into the woman, the soul being that I was supposed to be. That takes a lot of strength to say that I love you so much that I'm going to choose not to be there because I know it's for your greater good. And that perspective resonates with my spirit. I know a lot of people may have experienced absent parents, but you get to run with and adopt and embody the perspective that works best for you. And that perspective feels true to me. It feels true to my heart, and it feels true to my soul. And I'm grateful for that perspective because it feels weightless. It feels like it's giving me the opportunity to love him again, to have a relationship with him again, and to also release the trauma and the wounds of feeling abandoned. I had a huge wound of not feeling chosen. I felt like my dad chose alcohol over me, and it bled into my relationships of constantly choosing partners who would choose exes over me. They would always cheat or go back to someone else, and it would always lead me to asking, why not me? How come no one ever chooses me? How come no one loves me enough to stay? And I carried that wound for a very long time. And as I do my own personal healing work of evolving, getting to this perspective, opening my heart enough to allow this perspective to penetrate my heart, it gives me the opportunity to no longer rest, use, need those stories. I can rewrite that story, that narrative that's embedded in my nervous system, my subconscious mind, that I was not abandoned, that my dad didn't choose alcohol over me. He honored me in the best way that he knew how, and is still paying off to this day. Because he chose not to be present, I'm an entrepreneur. I have a book that sold thousands of copies. I'm able to teach thousands of people and guide thousands of people with my words, my wounds, my traumas, my lessons that only come from him being able to bestow a certain level of pain that was also wrapped in a gift. When I went to my ayahuasca experience in the jungle in Peru, in the Amazon, my main intention that I told the shamans was, I want to forgive my dad. And then the shaman responded to me, as you heal, grow, and evolve, forgiveness will no longer be necessary because only compassion will be present. Thank y'all for tuning in. The next chapter will be coming up next week. And if you would like to purchase my book, you can order from my website, CandiceLove.com. It's also in the bio of my YouTube and in the bio of my Instagram. Thank y'all for being here and allowing me to share so open, vulnerably, and transparently and raw. I love y'all. Thank y'all so much.